This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Sawyers Bay, Dunedin, and I am joined from Whakatane by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Samuel Mann. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. I managed to not have you come from a different place today.
I actually, you know, when you were talking about Karatane, it just made me want to come home, so I'll be home, I think, before long.
And we're going again today with a Coming Up For Air episode. Who are we introducing today?
Today, it is my great pleasure to introduce Ryan Mackey. Ryan is a really great contributor to our classroom environment and has got some very cool perspectives. So it is a great joy to have you here today. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Kia ora, Mawira. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Kia ora, Ryan. Where did you grow up, Ryan?
I grew up in Hamilton in the North Island, so a bit different to Dunedin, but...
We shall forgive you for that. What was it like growing up there?
I actually really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people don't look the best on Hamilton, but I feel like I made so many cool lifelong friends and made so many experiences that I wouldn't trade living or growing up anywhere else.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
When I wanted to grow up, I wanted to be an accountant because my dad was an accountant. But then he told me that is a bad thing to grow up to be.
I was going to say that's how they get them. Is that the only source of accountants? But then if you got accountants saying don't be accountants, then... So what did you do instead?
Well... I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I worked for my dad, actually. I was doing kitchen joining, but then I came to university and that's where I kind of found sustainability and business, and now I'm here.
What attracted you to sustainable business?
Well, I think all the learning I kind of did in my undergraduate degree, which was in economics, it kind of laid out the landscape of what's going on in the world and all the things that kind of need to, or somebody or a group of people need to try fix. And so that kind of sparked my interest.
Can't we blame economics for the mess we're in? Concepts of rational man, systems based on growth.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some old school thoughts and styles of thinking in economics, that's for sure.
But you persisted with it.
Yeah, yeah, well, I hate to say, but I found it really interesting and I really enjoyed doing it, but I think it is a great kind of foundation of knowledge to build from, so.
If you could go back, now you have seen the light and found sustainability, what would you tell... I was going to say 18-year-old you, but maybe it was a bit older than that.
Yeah, I always kind of had interest in sustainability, but actually like knowing that I could do it in my own life and in my like work life and just all of in my actions was kind of something I didn't know that I could do. So then being given this opportunity to kind of add it to my work life and build something from it is very insightful, I think.
Let's take your music choice. Who have we got? George Villa, Love Doesn't Grow on Trees. Why this one?
Well, George Villa is actually one of my best friends from growing up in Hamilton. My friends from home are all pursuing music together and they just released some songs, and so I thought what a better way to shout out some people trying to do some cool stuff.
That is the best reason for playing things.
Exactly.
Water in the garden, looking for love. And I've been laying in the green grass, feeling rough. And you've been so cautious lately that I'm tangled up in maybe. I feel like what I give just ain't enough. And if your love don't grow on trees, that is the way it has to be. Oh, can you stop growing on me? Because the heartbreak don't come shade.
Bubble sprite of the forest of Orokanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, nā mihi aroha nui, kia koutou, kia tahua hou. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars, in your beloved universes, and I really hope, wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day, who you are, the triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Yeah. Now I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and it's so important that we find comfort and solace and support and love and care and compassion and time and space to process what has occurred, and to renew and rejuvenate and reorient, recalibrate, restore within and without ourselves, those important parts which we need to feel fully alive and engaged. I know for myself that the living world is a huge part of who I feel I am. And of course, for all of us, we are connected to all life and infinite web. Very fortunate to have worked outdoors for 20 years and continue to do so. Hopefully until my physical body reaches the end of her tenure here. And then hopefully just disappear into the forest or into the sea. I think it would be lovely. But we'll wait and find out, won't we? So I know at the moment many people are having to make changes in their lives, and this can be an unsettling time. However, I feel that with these changes and with giving ourselves the time and the space, if we can, to process these changes, we will always find a blessing, we will always find a silver lining, we will always find a new gift that is awaiting us. I know for myself recently, I'm having to really change how I'm doing things in my own life. And initially this felt quite unsettling. Now I feel a great sense of relief and joy and freedom in my new way of being, doing, seeing, feeling. I have left my mansion in the city and I have moved out temporarily, but I'm really loving it, to be with my whānau in Portobello here on the Otago Peninsula. And this follows the separation of my partner and I last 10 years. And we're still dear friends and we'll love each other eternally, but we are no longer living in the same place or the same space, although we communicate each day supportively. And, you know, if we can move through these changes with love and if we can find places of sanctuary and solace and support, how fortunate we are, how lucky we are. Of course, within us all there is our inner sanctuary, our heart, our inner sanctuary, our mind, our inner sanctuary, our Māori, our Wairua, our spirit, our soul, our life force, and all of these working together within us in many ways unfathomable, in many ways unknowable, but nonetheless still there for us when we need them. And for me, the opportunity to be in a quiet space, maybe hearing the birds, hearing the sea, hearing the wind, hearing laughter and joy, music, but the opportunity for my own self to be receptive and listening and receptive and learning and receptive and grateful. This is always a healing for me. So I really hope for you, you're having the opportunity to give yourself the time and the space to receive the love that surrounds you, I would say, in infinite abundance from the living world. And of course, being part of the show and hearing how people all over our beautiful paradise planet are navigating personal change is so inspirational. So a huge thank you to Sam and the whole Blowing Bubbles team for having, and I'll talk with you again soon. Thank you so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Ryan Mackey.
Ryan, your interview with Eva was really interesting. What would you like to tell us about that?
Well, I think the main things that I kind of got out of the interview from Eva was that it doesn't matter what walk of life or where you are or how old you are, you can always influence positive change. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 15 or if you're 50, or you can always start and influence others as well to make this kind of change, that to make the world a better place. And I think that was something she highlighted extremely well in kind of what her and the group at Hold On To Your Friends do in Dunedin.
So what can you tell us about the group?
So they're a student-led organization, and they were founded after the girl Sophia passed away tragically in a flat party. And so they've done a lot of work in the student body about kind of making it a safe environment, but now they've also branched into doing things like cleaning up the streets, and they do trash for food initiatives and kind of just heaps of things that make the student body in Dunedin have all these opportunities and kind of safety that maybe wasn't there before.
Ryan, as our listeners listen to the interview, is there anything in particular that you want them to kind of really listen out for?
I think listening out for the way in which Eva and the group at Hold On To Your Friends kind of approached stuff. They have this very strong emphasis of coming from a place of genuine, like they genuinely care for the environment, they genuinely care about the student body, they genuinely care about safety. And I think that's kind of what has separated them from others, is that there's no kind of alternative motive or reason to do it. They just want to give back and make the place in Dunedin like a better city for everybody.
Beautiful.
Have you ever purchased a piece of clothing because it said it was sourced from sustainable practices, or purchased food because you thought it was organic? You may just be victim to greenwashing. Kia ora. My name is Ryan Mackey, and I am a student at the University of Otago, currently studying my Masters of Sustainable Business. Throughout this podcast, I hope to inform you of this serious problem based on an invaluable interview I conducted with a representative at Hold On To Your Friends. I interviewed Eva Brunel from Hold On To Your Friends as part of a local business incorporating sustainability in a genuine way. Hold On To Your Friends is a local community group located in Otepoti, Dunedin, that focuses on helping the student body at the university. This interview gave many insights into how a local business can run sustainably focused initiatives or strategies in a successful and proficient way. Based on the knowledge Eva shared with me, I thought the only purpose for this interview was to make this podcast that shared how other future business leaders may hope to run a sustainably orientated business. First of all, I need to set a premise, obviously. There are so many challenges in business today, and this is just one of them, but I believe it is a very prominent one, the term greenwashing. The term greenwashing means to manipulate a strategy or program to seem environmentally supportive, when in reality, the actions that the business takes is not so environmentally supportive. A study done in 2023 by Santos, Coelho and Marx gives a sort of in-depth analysis into the relationship between stakeholders and greenwashing. The study revolves around what greenwashing is and the effects greenwashing has on real people. It brings to light the deceit and manipulation of this disingenuous surface to achieve environmental sustainability. The study gives kind of an understanding that this is more of a form of marketing than an actual implementation strategy to achieve sustainability. It is more of a way of appearing sustainable than actually being sustainable. Greenwashing is an extremely prevalent idea in business today. Eva shared some insights into her and the Hold On To Your Friends group's experience on sustainability initiatives today in local North Dunedin businesses. Eva highlighted a very intriguing, prominent point. The idea that business is in somewhat of a transitioning period. That there seems to be a systematic change in business towards a more sustainability-orientated lens. Here's what Eva had to say. So why you think it's on like a day-to-day, up to the individual, you think that kind of a systematic reapproach to everything mm-hmm. is what kind of needs to happen?
Oh yeah, like
to
get definitely a systematic, like massive change.
This understanding of a systematic change creates this vital need for us as future business leaders to acknowledge and at least attempt to understand what we must do to remold what we deem a successful business. There are so many different examples of greenwashing. For example, New Zealand's Christchurch Airport claimed a climate positive stance. An airport claiming positive climate stance. This action already seems counterintuitive, right? This claim was investigated, to which it was found that Christchurch Airport was not including the plane's carbon emissions in this stance. While this may not be a direct lie, I think we can all agree it's not exactly the truth either. This relates back to our 2023 study, which helps us deepen our understanding of this market manipulation It also depicts how greenwashing plays out in the real world all around us, even when we don't realize it. Even here in New Zealand. New Zealand's often connotated with these kind of green ideologies, and many different countries around the world believe New Zealand to be a front runner of sustainability. But I think this greenwashing example is somewhat representative that greenwashing is everywhere, no matter where you are. This is what Eva had to say regarding greenwashing and why it might be so prominent today.
So I just think it's really unfair on so many people, and there's like no sense of responsibility behind it, and yeah, it can definitely be intentional as well, which is gross. Yeah, that's my first opinion on it.
Why do you think this new term greenwashing is so prominent in business today?
I think because environmental sustainability is like a trend as well as an important thing, that like initiative that needs to be implemented as a trend, and people follow trends, and especially like some businesses have learned how to use it to their advantage. So if people, again, it's like all about making consumers feel good about their decisions, so if they can with greenwashing, then they're going to, because it's going to help out their business.
Now, I found this insert very fascinating. Eva talked about trends regarding sustainability. It seems like people are piggybacking off those trying to do the right thing. I found this point extremely concerning. The idea that a business is only integrating sustainability on the basis of they want to be better for the environment because other people want them to be better for the environment. This again seems counterintuitive, and it shows this manipulation that's thoroughly embedded within business. And Eva also explained this real-world application of the negative effects where greenwashing has likely even affected Eva and Hold On To Your Friends group. I think, would you say it's like affected you in any sort of way?
Potentially. I mean, I'm unsure. I guess that's more of like a reflection of the student bodies, but definitely could, if we came across like we were just doing something like just to do it, then
yeah,
I think we would definitely lose a lot of our trust as well with the student body. So
this insight from Eva really resonated with me on more of a personal level. Greenwashing is now not only affecting large corporations, but also real people in local, real communities. Eva talked about how there's so many different forms of greenwashing taking place all around us that it's almost impossible for consumers to spot what's real and what's genuine and what's not. For example, Zed, one of New Zealand's leading petrol companies, continuously promotes that it is a greener choice. Despite this, Zed's emissions have increased yearly. This relates to a study in 2024 that emphasizes the idea of greenwashing and its negative effects. This displays the real-life negative effects of greenwashing on the consumer base and on the business. This study illustrates that if deemed greenwashers by the social force of consumers, there will be many negative flow-on effects that follow. These effects include brand avoidance, negative word of mouth, even if a business is genuinely implementing sustainable care in a genuine way. This is a very serious consequence for businesses right now. For example, Eva and the group on Hold On To Your Friends, if for some reason they are deemed to be greenwashing when they're not, there could be serious repercussions that could ultimately lead to the breakdown of their business when they're trying to do the right thing. Kia ora, listeners. We are now going for a little break, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to this podcast on how future leaders may implement sustainability into their business of tomorrow. This brings me to the purpose of this podcast. How can future business leaders hope to run a genuine sustainability-orientated business? A key step in creating any successful business is using the knowledge of others. That's what I'm going to be using the insights from Eva to do. By doing this, I believe we can find future benefits for businesses to create real, authentic sustainability. Eva let me in on how her and the group at Hold On To Your Friends have been attempting to address this greenwashing issue with a strong influence from sustainability.
Well, in terms of like strategy, like it is a smart strategy because, like, as I said before, like everyone agrees that environmental sustainability is important. But yeah, I feel like it should just be implemented like in the systems and like integrated into like multiple parts of business so that you're always like aware of it and, you know, not getting carried away. But yeah, in terms of mission statements, like if they're just going to throw it in, then there's no point in doing that because it's just ingenuine and yeah.
This insight displays future business leaders should work from more of a ground-up approach. Eva understands that a business cannot just throw in sustainability anywhere. Sustainability must be integrated into the very core of the business and be consistent throughout the entire business. This relates to a 2023 study by Receipt, Wickert, and Ramos. The study supports Eva's insights and emphasizes that each aspect and component of the business must work in coordination to proficiently implement the CSR program. By staying consistent in alignment throughout the business, future business leaders can achieve this efficiency that they are striving toward. This is Eva's first tip to implementing a successful, sustainability-focused business, incorporating sustainability from the ground up. Here is some more perspective from Eva.
How would you identify potential CSR opportunities that align with the local community's needs?
Yeah, I mean, we try and work in the community as much as we can. But just like asking questions, I think, like being like humble about it and knowing that we don't know everything about like certain things. And yeah, like asking questions and then trusting those insights because, you know, you have to reflect who you're like, who you're trying to help. So yeah. Again, just kind of like centralizing it around one idea.
So you would say that you come in with a very open mind as to like what the different stakeholders want. You're kind of completely external, but then when you come in, you just try to take their viewpoint of what they really want.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's like one of the most important. Obviously, these are your own missions as well in a company, of course. But yeah, I mean, it depends like who you're doing it for. I feel like, I don't know in terms of what companies you're talking about, but like for us, it's like if we're not, if we're not like focusing and like listening to our audience, then we're not going to have like the effect that we want to have anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Eva explained how the group at Hold On To Your Friends acts as more of a vessel based on what the stakeholders within communities need and want. She explored how this was how they can be really effective. This further relates to our previous realization that businesses must act for people who can't. While this seems obvious, it is also extremely complex in nature. Not only does it have implications for communities, but it also impacts the business in so many different ways. As a business, you cannot come from a point of bias, otherwise you might end up on a disingenuous path. You must also understand that maybe you don't know everything, and asking questions is something that must occur. This is something that I believe is lacking in business today. This almost two-way consumer to business communication that really needs to build and build. Therefore, our second idea is to implement sustainability from a point of the people. Ask a question. If you're trying to satisfy a group of stakeholders within the community, talk to them. Continuing on, Eva showcased some of the strategies that can be better utilized.
A lot of the things we do, like with food, for example, because, yeah, otherwise you never know, like, if people are going to actually want to do it. Yeah,
so you've talked about, like, incentives and kind of ease of access and education of sustainability. Which one would you say is the most impactful on what you've observed, at least, on your, like, initiatives?
So incentives, ease, education. I'd say probably ease,
ease
of use, because, yeah, if it's not...
People don't like change.
No, they don't. Yeah. And if it's not convenient, then it's going to be way harder to enforce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This insight showcased how business can utilize incentives and initiatives to help combat false change.
future businesses can create positive reinforcement and genuine care to sustainability, which separates them from other businesses. There's a few tips that Eva threw in too. These tips included ease of access, incentives, and people believing in what you're authentically doing. I believe this relates to the theory of planned behavior. You have the three main pillars of the theory of planned behavior: the attitude toward the behavior, the subjective norm, and the perceived behavioral control. The attitude is people's individual perspective, so if you're being genuine. The subjective norm, which is other people's influence, which is where Eva talked about people's authenticity toward your strategy. Perceived behavioral control, this is where Eva talked about her ease of access. Now, I believe showing this, Eva displayed that you can actually enable change in the consumer themselves. By creating this change in the consumer, you're showing that you as a business are helping create change yourself. As well as these three main strategies and theories we've talked about, Eva also shared some personal tips that may just give your future business the head start it needs to become a successful, sustainably orientated business of the future. Are there any tips you would give to future entrepreneurs on how they might incorporate sustainability into their future business endeavors?
Do it from day dot, like don't let it be an afterthought, because then again, then it just feels like it's thrown in there just to be in there. I would say just incorporate from the beginning and make sure you're listening to what people want and aligning it with your values.
Now, throughout this podcast, I have touched on several main points. Together, we have gained understanding from Eva, news sources, and even some literature regarding greenwashing. From here, with a massive thanks to Eva, we have learned of the positive aspects from sustainable integration, with following strategies that may be employed to allow opportunities to arise. Now, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and I hope you've learned two things. One, how you may run a sustainable business of tomorrow, and two, that there is hope for our green world yet. Ngā mihi, Ryan Mackey.
Ryan, that was a really interesting interview. And what did you get from it? Like, what was the real takeaway that you'll take into your professional practice going forward?
I think taking into my professional practice going forward is that, yeah, back again to the just being coming from a place that is genuine, like not looking for, oh, it's great to look sustainable, but just by actually doing these things, the kind of rewards or benefits will come to you naturally. If you are kind of implementing this stuff in a natural and genuine way, it doesn't have to be some sort of fiscal goal or something like that. If you bring in this from your real values, you will get value out of it.
Yeah, there is the word real with a full stop is appearing a lot in the young ones, the Gen Zs, not the Gen Alphas, the ones slightly older, the teenagers of the moment. Real is the cat. That's the word at the moment. And do you think that intense shout out for the real is going to continue to be a theme for them?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think as we go into a more technical, like a lot more, everything's internet driven, and a lot of things are kind of done in the digital space, that I think when you see something that's real and affecting real people, it kind of has a different sort of power, because it's tangible, if you know what I mean. So I think that'll definitely carry on into the next generations for sure.
And is that where you're headed? Are you headed into the space of the real? Is that your aspiration in life?
Yeah, well, I hope so, because I often see a lot of people saying they're doing this or they're going to do this or selling some sort of course, but I think if you take a step back and look into your own personal real life, you can make a crazy amount of change that is so cool. And so I think, yeah, being real is something that I definitely aspire to be.
There's a question I asked our last person that we interviewed, and I think I'm just going to keep going with this all the way through this interview series, which is, if I gave you a magic wand to create your perfect job, what is it? What's the perfect job for you?
The perfect job. The perfect job. Wow, that's a great question. I think something revolved around helping out your typical, I guess you would call it, person, and giving people the kind of power to change, whether it's, you know, going, eating less red meat or something along those lines. It's just like a job that actually gives the power to people to create change in their life. I think that would be something that would be very cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Kind of like action research made manifest in the lives of people.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I always wanted to do something that, like, helped out the quote unquote average or typical family, to show people that you don't have to kind of be stuck in these somewhat ruts, that, you know, you can do anything no matter where you are.
Well, that is really neat. Gosh, wouldn't that be powerful? And especially at the moment, while there's a real sense of powerlessness, especially in the lives of our rangatahi who have dealing with multiple anxieties, everything from climate to the future of work to failures in the education system and health system, like there's so many things they're worried about, and they have a real sense of powerlessness in being able to affect positive change.
Yeah, for sure. I think enabling even just a voice is a starting point, but once you can kind of get that voice out there, you can kind of create a domino effect that allows for so much great change to happen.
Have you ever looked at civics in education?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, that's something for you to look at. Civics is the basics of how the world works, and it's something we don't teach and we should be teaching. So maybe that will be the beginning of, you know, maybe we just planted a seed for that today. And yeah, because I can see you'd just be so amazing at that.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a look after we've finished filming. That sounds really cool.
That's very cool. Brian, who have your role models been in your life?
My role models definitely would, a bit of a generic answer, but definitely just my family, my mum, my dad, even my older brother and older sister. They definitely have very, very much so influenced a lot of the things I've done.
What sort of things have you done as a result of their influence? Let's celebrate them, because they'll listen to this. So this is a really cool opportunity for them to know.
Yeah, well, I wasn't the biggest fan of school when I was in high school, actually. And my parents were both very much so wanting me to come to university, because they thought it would just open up so many doors. And I did not want to listen to them when I was younger, but now I don't want to leave, and I've been here for 4 years, so I think it's safe to say they were right about that. And then, my brother definitely has influenced me. He's someone who's very he's very passionate about the different things that he does. So he's very into, like, agriculture, and he's a high school chemistry and biology teacher, so he loves the kind of organic world, or whatever you want to call it. And so he's definitely influenced me to actually become more passionate about things that I'm interested in, rather than just going about stuff in kind of a mundane way, just doing the motions. He's kind of showed me to actually be passionate, and that's a good thing, and go for gold, I guess.
Ryan, you've been talking about real and authentic and coming from a place that's genuine. My difficulty with that, and that's awesome, right? My difficulty is that how do we spot that when we're awash with greenwash and authentic wash?
Yeah, I think that's one of the very, very pressing issues right now is that it is nearly impossible to filter out what's real and what's not and what's authentic and what's not. So I think that's something that businesses and maybe even on the consumer end, we have to become more knowledgeable in that space and be able to look out for, okay, maybe this is just greenwashing or this is a marketing stunt. So I think that's, yeah, I think education on sustainable practices and marketing is something that definitely needs to happen.
Of course, it's going full circle now with the Snacky Changy chips, the authentically unauthentic advertising. Do you have a go-to definition of sustainability?
I think my definition of sustainability is just looking out for future generations, making sure they have the same opportunities or similar opportunities to what we have, and kind of guarding over the environment for now so that they can have opportunity and success as well in the future.
Do you think we need to change the definition to somehow make that real?
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess you could go both ways because if you change it, then are you actually being as sustainable as you wanted to be? But then yeah, making it feasible is definitely very topical right now because it does seem very almost like an impossible task, I would say.
Your generation of leaders coming through are going to face some big time impossible tasks. I mean, I know every generation thinks that it's got impossible tasks, but the scale of the impossibility seems to be going up, and the complexity of that impossibility.
Yeah.
How do you stay optimistic?
Well, yeah, I think if we just look through history, I mean, we've always kind of come out the other end. But I think, yeah, if you work with other positive people and you look for the kind of good things that we're doing, that there always is a chance, no matter how big the challenge is. I don't think anything's impossible. So I think that's a good way to look at it.
What's your thesis going to be on?
I'm going to do it on the Sustainable Development Goal 8 on its implementation and if the indicators are kind of suitable to what they're trying to achieve.
You're going to have to remind us what 8 is.
It's decent work and economic growth. It's highly contested at the moment because part of it is that they want a minimum of 7% economic growth, but then they also want to be sustainable. So I'm kind of looking and critiquing at the goal itself.
That seems sensible, given the strength of the degrowth arguments. What's a 7% growth thing doing on a sustainable?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I thought to myself too, Sam.
I suppose that makes sense if you are Namibia or Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I think they're definitely looking at it from quite an economic driven perspective that, you know, they still have this underlying idea that economic growth, maybe for developing countries is good, but yeah, putting it for all the countries that are doing the SDGs is quite seems quite interesting at least.
My problem with the Sustainable Development Goals is probably comes down to that number 8. And it's the fact that you can say, yep, I'm bulldozing this forest, I'm doing whatever it is, but look, meeting number 8.
Yeah, well, I think what we were talking about before with the greenwashing and all those kind of boxes you can tick while still doing things that are not authentic or not genuine are it's definitely a field to look into because it'll be very, very pressing in the next few years, at least.
Best of luck with that. I have some questions to end the show with. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
The biggest success I've had, probably going and being able to do my master's. I think that was something that I never thought I would be able to do. And I think that by choosing the sustainable business course, it's kind of opened up a lot of doors and a lot of new perspectives that I think are extremely valuable and that I would have very happy to take into the rest of my life.
What's your superpower?
My superpower? Probably being open-minded, I think. Being fine with being wrong, I think, is something that I pride myself in. I think it's allowed me to do a lot of things that I didn't think I could.
If you imagine yourself meeting a business person who says, all this sustainability stuff is wrong, how do you engage them?
I have met people like that for sure. I think you have to look at kind of the things that have made their life, because some people you can't argue with, some people are not kind of open enough to being wrong, that it's just a dead end. So I think you have to realize you can't change everybody's mind, but if you change enough, then you can kind of create change.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
I guess somewhat now. Yeah, I try to do my part, for sure.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
What gets me out of bed in the morning? I don't want my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren to say that we destroyed the world, like people are saying to some other generations now. I think that would be a horrible thing to hear when you're older and you've kind of completed a body of work that you're supposedly proud of.
What's the biggest challenge you're looking forward to in the next year or two?
Probably changing people's minds, like you were just talking about, meeting those people who don't believe in sustainability or don't believe in change. And I think changing their mind, or at least having those debates, are very cool. Often there's often some very different perspectives, and I always like to hear the unique ones.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
I would say, just if you're going to do anything, do it from, like I've been saying throughout the whole podcast, do it with a genuine mission. Don't do anything you don't really believe in, otherwise it's probably not worth doing.
Thank you for that. Mawira.
Ryan, there was a quote that I recently came across: start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. And you are the absolute, that's you. That's how I see you. It's how I see you going forward, and I hear it in your message, and I'm excited to see how that informs your practice going forward, and what it is that you end up doing. Whatever it is that you end up doing, I know that you're going to make a significant difference and improve the world just by being your authentic self. So thank you for your contribution in our class over this last semester. For the thoughtfulness of your interview with Eva, and what is a really complex space that interview, addressed. And I really do look forward to seeing what you do in the future. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been, so much fun.
Thank you for that. We're going out to the Undercover Hippie Life's Good.
And it is.
Life's good, I'm loving it, living it to the max.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world.
What we make believe could be the world where dreams come true. So let's just do it, because we're worth it. Be inspired to start again, because the rules were only written with some paper.
Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic.
So challenge everything, follow your own rules until the end. Because life's good, and I mean the real thing. Not that bullshit superficial image that you're given on your TV screen. Life's good.
We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. I've been joined by Mawira Karatai from Whakatane and bringing us his episode of Coming Up For Air, we've been joined by Ryan Mackey. That was Blowing Bubbles. I'm Samuel Mann. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mā te wā.
I mean the real thing, not that bullshit superficial image that you're given on your TV screen. Life's good, and I mean the real thing, not that bullshit superficial image that you're given on your TV screen. Life's good. We need a world where people matter more than profit. You want it, you get it, you got it. But tell me, where's the product that can reach out and touch someone? Become the choice of a new generation of people willing to give up making a killing by selling, and start considering whether or not it's really intelligent to be chasing after money. What a world to case. So live like you mean it today. Cause life's good, and I mean the real thing. Superficial image that you're given on your TV screen. Life's good, and I mean the real thing. Not that bullshit superficial image that you're given on your TV screen. Life's good.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.